Well, sometimes the need is so close, you can miss it. Isn't that true? But also, sometimes it feels like there are just so many needs all around. I don't know if you feel a little bit overwhelmed by that sometimes. There's just an abundance of things and opportunities that we can give to. Schools, sporting clubs, community groups, churches, organizations, the list never seems to end. It's overwhelming a little bit at times. But this idea of living generously, of that being a lifestyle choice for us, oh, we want to be able to see that not as a burden, but that that is just a privilege that we can live by. So how do we respond when we see needs around us? Because there are just so many. Do we just ignore them? My mum often said to me, do for one what you would like to do for many. That way you feel you are doing something. Because it's impossible to help everyone at the same time. And you know, I think Jesus showed us a really good example of how to do this. Some of you here may be familiar with this story that Jesus is involved with, and he is actually feeding a lot of people who came to hear him speak, literally thousands and thousands, and a very small number of food items was brought, and somehow Jesus performs one of his great miracles and thousands of people are fed. Now, what was the need of the people in that moment? It was food. They were starving. They were hungry. But Jesus didn't all of a sudden do a big income test assessment. He didn't do a needs and material-based analysis to say, okay, you guys actually, you earn more than, you know, 5,000 denarii a year, so you're not eligible. They all had a need of hunger in that moment, regardless of whether they were wealthy, poor, and everything in between. Jesus met the need in that moment. And, you know, I had an example of this that happened to me just before Christmas last year. There was a lady who came in for assistance. And she came in a little bit unusually, kind of outside some of our time frames that we had to give, to receive and give out hampers, etc. And she was by herself, and I got chatting to her. And she said, oh, I had to wait until I could get someone to look after my kids. She had a two-year-old and she had a baby. Now, they were Sudanese refugees and her name was Nadaj. And what had happened was they'd moved to Australia and they were settled in Zilmir. Now, the issue was it had taken her husband a long time to get work. However, he had finally got work in Toowoomba. So the logistics of that are pretty difficult. But when you only have one opportunity to work, what are they going to do? So every day he would drive 2 hours to Toowoomba and 2 hours home at the end of the day. Now, Nadaj wasn't bothered by the fact that she had to catch public transport. The issue for her was that she was struggling to get around on public transport because she only had one stroller. A single stroller, and her daughter, the two-year-old, had almost been run over recently because, you know, two-year-olds, they tend to run around and they don't stay put. So she'd put the baby in the stroller and the two-year-old would run around. And so she had to try and get someone to mind the kids to even come to church to pick up some things. So we helped her out and she went on her way. As I walked back into the office, I was thinking, what is her need right now? She needs a double stroller. She needs a double stroller so she can go out. So I thought, let's do this. So I went on to Gumtree and I found one for sale just here in Fitzgibbon. It was something like $80. And I thought, that's easy. We can sort this out. So I rang the lady on the phone who was selling the stroller. And as I did that, I just felt a prompting within myself, sure enough, probably God, the Holy Spirit, saying, ask the woman on the phone to give it to you for free. Okay? So I started speaking to the lady on the phone and I told her about the situation with Nadaj and her family. And I said, look, I'm just asking, would you be willing to donate that stroller to her? The woman on the phone was overjoyed. She was pumped to be able just to give this double stroller away. So then I went and spoke to Nadaj and I said, look, I've got something I want to drop over to you this afternoon. So I went to her house and she came down from her unit and there I was with the double stroller. Oh, it was a very, very precious moment when she saw the stroller. And I explained to her how to use it because you almost needed a PhD in mechanical engineering to work this double stroller, let me tell you. It was complex. Anyway, I left it to a standing up, not folded. So she was delighted and she just kept saying, I can go out. I can go out. She'd literally been almost locked at home, afraid to go out without the kids. The hero of this story is that woman that was so willing to give the stroller away for free. I then rang her up and told her about how she responded and passed on our thanks and appreciation. It was one of those great kind of feel-good moments where you knew that God was at work and he enabled someone's really practical need in that moment to be met and change her life for the next little while. This is about sometimes giving someone an opportunity to be generous and to adopt that into their lifestyle. Because living generously is a privilege. And this passage, if you've got your Bible or want to look at it on your phone from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I invite you to just keep that open in front of you this morning. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more. Well, I guess the first thing I want to say today is that about giving and about living generously is that we learn from this passage that giving enthusiastically is what we see in this passage. Now, some of you here today might find yourself in really, really challenging financial situations. Perhaps you have bills that you can kind of see really mounting up, or you are feeling the weight of a significant financial burden on your shoulders. If so, then you can totally relate to this passage and this church that was being spoken about in Macedonia. It says that they were in some sort of extreme poverty to the point where Paul actually really didn't expect them to give a whole lot because he knew how challenged they were. But yet these people, when they heard about the need in Jerusalem, they begged to give. Let's have a look at that verse there. It says in verse 4, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I wonder when the last time you begged to give. I've seen people begging to give many times, and it's very, very humbling. We talked about our self-denial appeal that we did earlier this year, and I'll probably refer to that a couple of times today. But some of you would say, Donna, when's it closing? I haven't given yet. I don't want to miss out. At the last church that Craig and I were at the leaders at, we had this beautiful young couple. And they had their first child. And the child was born and hadn't shown up in the scans with a very, very aggressive tumor, cancerous tumor. And it wasn't sure what the expectancy of the child was and what the situation was going to be. It was very, very traumatic. So the following weekend at church, Craig and I said to our church at Miranda, we said, we need to take up an offering for this family. We don't know what is going to happen to them, but their need right now that we can meet is that we can help them out financially. And the church responded beautifully. But then somehow everyone that was in the church that day, whether they told their friends or family, and that afternoon we had people turning up at our door unexpectedly that we did not even know, offering money, pleading with us, begging with us to help give to this need. And then not only this church in Macedonia, it says that they gave as much as they could and beyond their ability. Don't think that if you give a small amount and that is all you're able to give, that God isn't delighted with that. Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 says that he can do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine. And in fact, we at North Brisbane have actually been the recipient of this. When we were doing our self-denial appeal earlier in the year and we had this audacious goal of $100,000, we were just a bit off that. And Sharon Cottam, a member of our church, She works with quite a few people in the Philippines, and she was Skyping them, and somehow she was telling them about the church's self-denial appeal, go figure. Boy, it wasn't work hours. And they ended up thinking, oh, well, we'd love to help you out and give you some money so you in Australia can reach your goal. So Shaz's work colleagues in the Philippines put together and gave our church money that this could be used for the work of the Salvation Army in developing countries. Tell me that what they gave in the Philippines, God hasn't multiplied. What they would earn per hour, completely different than what we would earn here. Yet I reckon God was delighted with their gift. And I think this shows that if we want to live generously, if we want to be generous people, we can't wait. We don't need to wait till we've got it all together. We don't have to wait till we've got every single bill paid off and that, you know, the burdens of that we might have, we don't have to wait till they're all sorted out. God instead has so many opportunities that you could miss out on in living and giving generously if you wait until you meet that. And the reality is that if you wait till this is sorted, then you'll find another thing that needs to be sorted, and then another thing and another thing. And before you know it, years and years could go by and you've missed out on the privilege of giving. So give enthusiastically, like these Christians in Macedonia did, and view giving as a privilege and not as a burden. We're also encouraged in this passage to give so others can experience equality. And we see that this verse here, verse 13, I think it is, where it says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. Now, the idea of this offering to this church in Jerusalem wasn't so they could dine on Wagyu beef and smoked salmon and lamb cutlets and smashed avo. That wasn't the idea. That might be at fellowship lunch, I don't know. Who's bought Wagyu beef? But that they would have the basic needs, that there would be equality between the churches. That's what they wanted to give. That they didn't want, Paul didn't want the church in the people in Corinth or Macedonia to give everything away that then they were in need. That's not what he's saying here. But that there might be equality. And see, when we give often, we give so other people can experience equality, so other people can have opportunities, other people can have access to basic human needs. And we saw a beautiful example of this earlier in the year as part of our self-denial appeal about this girl called Manisha. Now, Manisha is now 18 years old, but she, being a female in India, she was forced to leave school when she was about 13 or 14 because a girl's education isn't considered valuable. She always had a dream that one day she would open a clothing store. Well, when she was 15, she heard that the Salvation Army in her town were running courses about teaching tailoring and embroidery. So Manisha applied, was accepted, and completed a year-long course. And not only that, she was taught budgeting, financial management, and how to set up a business. And now at the age of 18, she is running her own store. How awesome is that? And our giving as a church, we're a part of that. We have enabled people to experience equality because of our giving. Opportunities that they might not have had if it wasn't for being generous people. See, when we look at it this way, oh, giving, living generously, it's a privilege. It is not a burden. And finally, this passage tells us that we want to give so the church can thrive and not just simply survive. You know, this church in Jerusalem, they were really impoverished. They were barely surviving. The people's need were being so consumed by their own needs not being met that the church was beginning to just limp along. And Paul did not want the church to simply limp along. He wanted the church to thrive. He wanted the church to be fully resourced and equipped so it could do a magnificent work of extending God's work and the message of Jesus Christ. You see, the church is God's idea. We didn't come up with it. God came up with the idea of the church, and He loves the church. And He absolutely loves our church here too. And He wants our church, He wants every church to have all the resources it can so it can be fully functioning and to thrive. So when you give to the church here at North Brisbane, you enable this church to be fully resourced to help people where we can, to be able to offer programs that can make a difference and meet needs in our community, to be able to fully resource and develop our youth, our children, our young adults, to help those people who are lonely, to reach more people to Jesus, and to try and spread the message of Jesus about hope and freedom and transformation. Giving doesn't have to be viewed as a burden. It's a privilege to be a part of this. Now, some of you today are just rejoicing at that financial thumbprint booklet, thinking, this is awesome. How good is God? And others you here today could be perhaps a touch skeptical, thinking, well, actually, this church has got heaps and heaps of money here. I don't think it would matter if I don't contribute. In fact, my giving won't be missed here at all. I guess I would encourage you to think about it this way. It's not about giving to the church. It's about giving to God through our church. It's like a partnership, enabling us to work together to extend what Jesus has done here on earth. So this church, every church, can really thrive and not just survive. I reckon the majority of us here are on the same page. You would want this church to really thrive. You want us to run on all cylinders at the maximum we can go. And to do that, we want to be a church that's fully resourced. We want to continue to grow and expand. God has not finished with this church at all. In fact, we can barely imagine what else He wants to do in the next year, how He is going to bless us, how He is going to impact your life when you choose to live generously, where we can see more hope, freedom, and transformation stories. And this happens when we give enthusiastically, where we give knowing others can experience equality, and we give with that certainty that what we're doing will enable the church to thrive and not just survive. So my challenge today is to anyone here who is thinking, they're thinking perhaps is that giving is a burden, it's a hassle, I feel overwhelmed by it, to literally, as this series says, to turn that thinking upside down and see it as a privilege, as a joy, so that God can do immeasurably more here than all we can ask or imagine. Some of you here too, as I mentioned earlier, are possibly not in a great financial situation. I hear that. Most of us in some point of time in our life will not be in a good financial situation. Perhaps you are in debt. Perhaps you're struggling to make ends meet. Perhaps you've really got single figures in your bank account. Perhaps your giving to the church has lapsed, or it's something you've never really taken hold of. Perhaps you're married and your husband, wife, you're just not on the same page about this. You know, we can see God do something miraculous when we choose to move out of that driver's seat, put Him there, and invite Him to take control of our financial situation. That turns our view of giving not as a burden, but as a privilege. It turns it upside down. So I want to invite you this morning. I'm going to pray in a moment. And perhaps it's your own prayer that you want to give up to God about where you're at the moment, but that you would be inspired to live a generous life and sit back and be amazed where God is going to be at work. Let me pray. Well, God, we thank you that your word, the Bible, teaches us so much about giving and about living generously and about how this is just a lifestyle choice and how we can respond to needs in the moment that confront us. I pray, God, that each of us here will catch the joy of giving, that they will view it as a privilege and not a burden, that they would want to be part of a movement of generous people who live and give generously. God, may that continue to be such a mark of this church. We thank you, God, that we have been enabled here to live and give generously as a church, but God, we pray for more. God, we pray that you continue to do something new in us. We pray for those here who are struggling financially and who are struggling to get out of the driver's seat of their car and allow you, God, to drive the way forward financially. We pray, God, that there would be a great measure of trust and faith, that you would show up in their finances, and Lord, that they would choose to live generously. So we pray your continued favor and your wisdom upon us as we manage the funds of this church to honor you, Lord, and to bring hope and freedom and transformation through Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.